Thank you, Lord. Well, we started, we've been talking a lot about prayer, and we were talking about praying for other Christians last week. And we talked about praying for the lost, and I encourage you, if you missed any of those, to go back and listen to that. And then last week, we started talking about praying for Christians, praying for other Christians or ourselves, anybody that's a Christian. You know, and I'm not going to go through everything we talked about last week, but, you know, to review a little bit. You know, it's different praying for a Christian than it is praying for somebody that's not a Christian. We have different rights and privileges. There's certain things you can pray for a Christian that you can't pray for a lost person. Why? Because a Christian's in the family of God. A Christian has rights and privileges, even if they don't know it. Like we use the example, you as a citizen of the United States have certain rights and privileges that somebody that's not a citizen does not have. It doesn't matter if you want them to have it or if you want certain things for them. They don't have those rights. And a lot of people are throwing up prayers for people that like aren't saved or whatever. They don't have the right for certain things. And you can't just because we want it, just because they're well-intentioned, that's not how prayer works. We're basing prayer on what God has said. If it's not in the Word, we can't. People are just asking these things and say, well, see, God didn't answer the prayer. Didn't work. Well, is it based on the Word or not? If it's not based on the Word, it's not going to work. And then people get mad at God. But praying for Christians is different because Christians are in the family of God. They are citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven. And so when we pray for them, we can pray for them according to how the Word teaches us to pray for the Christians. And there's a lot of examples. And what we're basically have done and what we're going to do is we're going through a list of scriptures that Paul prayed for people that he had been to, the churches he had been to, how he prayed for them. How did he pray for them? We can lift those prayers right out and pray those for each other, pray them for ourselves. We know they're godly prayers because they're in the Bible. We're reading them, and we're just applying them to our lives. We know they have the power of God. We know they're right. We know they're scriptural, and they work. And I have a list of those. I mentioned this last week. I have a list of those, a printout, and I can give you, if you don't have one, I can give you one of those at the end of the service. It's already, it's done in first person form, so like you're praying it for yourself. And I have that in a, Word document or PDF document. I can email to you if you want, so you can cut and paste it if you want it. That's available, just so you know that. But let's turn over to, let's start in Ephesians 6, verse 17. We'll read this scripture before we go on. Ephesians 6, 17. God is so good. He is such a good God. So good. Ephesians 6:17. This is talking about, Paul's saying to take on the whole armor of God, how to stand against the devil. And he says in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication, that means requests, petitions, for all the saints. So we're to pray for other people. I mean, as we pray for each other, pray and ask things for each other. So what do we ask? How should we pray? That's what we're going to talk about. Let's go back to just a few chapters back. We'll read the scripture we read last week and just start there. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 15. So Paul's praying for these people, for the Ephesians. He says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you and making mention of you in all my prayers. Making mention of you in my prayers. And what's he going to pray now? that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. And then he goes on describing that power more. But what's he saying? We went over this last week. We'll just review quickly. He says he's praying. What's he praying for these people? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power who believe. So he's saying, toward us who believe, he's saying that you would basically be enlightened, that you would know, the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That your eyes would come alive, that you would understand, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He's praying that they would know how much they already have in the inheritance, what you already have, basically. He's praying that their light bulb would go on and they would know what they're sitting on. That's what he's praying. And then he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. So then he starts talking about, again, that you would know how much power is towards you who believe. According to what? According to the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And he goes on to describe that. That God the Father worked in Christ when He seated Him in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and every name that is named. And he goes on and he's saying, I started praying for you when I found out about your faith. I started praying that you would know what you're sitting on now. What is yours? And really, all these things come down to this, that you would know how much, he's saying, you would know how much you have. And when we're praying for ourselves or praying for somebody else, really, God has done everything in Jesus. Now, what do we need to do to take advantage of it? We need to know that and believe it. So as a Christian, it's not an oversimplification to say that every problem we face is somehow, not every problem, the root of the problem, but overcoming any problem we face is wrapped up in knowing what we already have in Jesus. Because if you walk as Paul walked, or you walk in the knowledge of what He's done, we're more than a conqueror. We're victorious in every situation. So most of it, it's just knowing what we have and taking that. We don't need something else. We need to know what we have. Because every Christian has the power of the living God residing on the inside, this power that raised Jesus from the dead. So what needs to happen? We need to know that. You know, it'd be like if somebody had deposited a large sum of money in your bank account and you did not know it was there, or a different bank account so that you didn't see it in your bank statements, but it was open for you and all you needed to do is withdraw it. It would not do you any good unless you knew about it and unless you did something with it. So what, you know, you could be unable to pay your rent, you could be unable to buy food, yet you have what you need to meet that need, but you're not, you don't know it. So what's the answer to this problem? Do you need more money? No. You need to take advantage of the money you have. You need to know about it. And that's the bottom line is, with Christians, if they're having a problem, if you know somebody that's having a problem, or you yourself, you can pray these prayers for yourself or pray them for somebody else, that basically it comes down to knowing what God has done for us and taking advantage of it. If we'll do that, there's nothing that can stop us, because God has provided everything for us in Jesus. So let's turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Notice that. He calls it a family. We're a family. We're in the family of God in heaven and earth. People that have gone on before us, we're still here. But we're all part of the family. We've been adopted into that family. Verse 16, that he would grant you, so when I, again, he's praying for these people. What is he praying? He's praying that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That you'd be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man, your spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So how are we, if you're praying for somebody that they would just be filled with all the fullness of God, or yourself, how do you come to that? It's through the knowledge of God. Of Christ. If you understand how much Jesus loves you, if you understand what he's done, if you understand his attitude towards you, that's what enables you to be filled with all the fullness of Christ, to be filled, to walk in everything that he's provided for us, to walk in life the way we're supposed to walk. How does it come? Through understanding how he is towards us, what he's done, how much he loves us. When we understand that, it enables us to overcome. It enables us to go forward. It enables us to overcome things and to depend on his power in situations, because we understand what he's done for us. Again, it's to understand something that's already been done. Not that God needs to do something else. It's that we would understand what he's done. In verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love, that you would be rooted and grounded in love. If you are rooted and grounded in love, in the love of God, you know who you are. You're secure in his love. You know that he's on your side. That's how you go forward. That's the path to true success. In verse 18, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Saints are just other Christians, like we said. What is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That almost sounds contradictory, but that you would know, that you give a revelation, not just in your head, that you would understand. You know, you can think, you know, somebody says, well, I love you, but you don't really believe it. You don't feel it. I'm not feeling it, man. You know, I don't get it. I don't think, I'm not feeling the love here. You know when somebody's genuine. There's something more than words, something more than your head. Or you can know that somebody loves you, you know, like a spouse. Well, you know with your head that they love you, but you don't feel loved at this point. You know, you don't feel like they really have love towards you. Like the classic, you know, example. The wife's complaining to her husband, you never say you love me. He said, well, I told you that at the altar. If anything changes, I'll let you know. Well, that's not the way women are. That's not the way we like to know that it's still that way, right? You don't feel, do you know? You probably know by the actions that there's love there, but you just don't feel. Well, this is, if you know, you understand, not just with, because you can read this, okay, yeah, Jesus loves me. You know, Jesus loves me. I think it's John like 16, 23 or 27 there. It says, God the Father loves you. Yeah, well, I can know that, but then I don't feel it. I don't feel loved. I know with my head, that he's supposed to love me. Everybody would say, well, God is love. Yes, of course he loves you, but they don't believe it. No, that you would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that it would be passed here and you would have it here. You would know. You would know that God loves you, that you just understand how much he has really done for you. And at that point, it says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the key to being filled with the fullness of God. That you would know, man, if he loves me and all that he did for me, then these other things, they're a piece of cake. These things can't stand in the way because I understand what Christ has done for me. That's the key. So when we're praying for people, we're praying in ourselves. If we're not understanding it, we can pray these prayers for ourselves, insert me in there. I pray, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. We can pray like that, and God, show me. God, show me. God, make it more real to me. It's in the Bible. That's what Paul was praying. We can pray that way, and God is going to back that up, and stuff will fall off. We'll see. More and more. Because this is the key. It's knowing what Christ has done. It's not another list of self-help programs. Do you realize there's a lot of the church world today that really it's psychology and it's just all put under the guise of Christianity, but really it's no different than you can pick up a psych book anywhere and they'll tell you the same things? Yeah, we brought it into the church and say, this is what you should do. Here's the list of things you should do. It's not looking to Jesus. It's not looking to him. This is all looking to him. You show me what you have done so I can take advantage and walk in what you've done. That's different than saying, now here's your list of however many things you need to do to get your life in order. And you look at the list, and you look at the list that you can pick up at any bookstore, and there's no difference. Jesus is not in the equation. That's not what we're talking about. Christ has, by knowing him and knowing his love and knowing what he has done for us, is going to put us over. True success. True success. Now, I'm not saying our behavior isn't going to line up. Yes, it is. Because we're secure in his love. We're going to know. So it's motivated by him and it just outflows and we're going to be better than we ever could be trying. It's different, though, than saying, now this is what you have to do to get your life in order, and here's the rules. Because those often look the same as what secular studies and humanity has come up with, and in the end, those things can break. But Christ will not and cannot. And that's where we want to rest. That's what we want for ourselves. That's what we want. We want lasting change. We don't want external change. We don't want something that just looks good on the outside. We want it coming, being changed from the inside out. The love of God, the life of God coming from the inside out and impacting us, impacting our families, impacting the world around us through him. Let's turn over to Colossians 1. It's very similar scripture. Colossians 1, verse 9. It says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Man, if we know what he wants us to do, if we know where he wants us to go, if we know how he wants us to handle a certain situation, it's going to be successful. If we come up with it, we don't know. The odds may work, may not, we don't know. But he's saying, we're asking God on your behalf that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would have an understanding, that you would know what to do, that you would be able to walk forward. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As you increase in the knowledge of God, these other things that you would walk worthy, it's just going to flow out. As you get a revelation of His will and all spiritual understanding, as you gain knowledge of Him, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, that's going to happen. You're going to walk worthy not to earn something from Him to get a badge of honor, but because of what He's done in you, then you walk worthy. And then your outward behavior looks like you're a child of God. And that you'd be fully pleasing Him. What fully pleases Him? Faith. Looking to Him, believing in Jesus. You're going to walk, if you walk in faith, if you're walking towards Him and believe in what Jesus has done, you're going to fully please Him. You're going to be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to your power. No, it doesn't say that. It says according to His glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So again, he is praying that you would get revelation of God's will and that you would walk worthy of what He has already done in you, because He has already qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, that you would be strengthened, that you would walk in patience, that you would have what you need to keep walking. But it all goes back to Him. It all goes back to Jesus. As you're walking, see that you would, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And then verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Thank God. Again, we can pray these things. You don't know exactly what to do. You can pray that this for yourself, to ask that you may be filled with all the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. 1 Corinthians 1:30, verse 29 says, you don't have to turn over there, but it says that God, that Christ has been made wisdom unto you. You have the wisdom of God in you. He's been made wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. He's been made that to us. We have, again, inside us all the wisdom we need to do what we need to do. But we just need to know it's there. The light bulb needs to come on. Thank God. Let's turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20. You know what? Why don't you hold your finger in Hebrews and go over to Philippians 1. Just back a few books. Go back to Philippians 1, and we're going to go there, and then we'll go to Hebrews. Another prayer that Paul prayed for the Philippians, Philippians 1, verse 9. It says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, His righteousness. And see, what did he just say? So I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That your love's going to abound more and more. We just read, if you know how much God loves you, that's the way it's going to flow out of you, and you're going to love other people. Basically, if you don't think God loves you very much and God's hard on you, you're not going to be easy on other people. You're going to be hard on them. If you realize how much God loves you and what he's done in Jesus, that allows you to be in love with other people and be to go easier on them because you know what Jesus has done for you. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, what is he? So he's talking about, again, what you do there. But what does he say is the cause of that? Verse 10, he says, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. How? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. If you'll know, again, what Jesus has done for you, know that you are righteous through him, know the position you have in the family of God, that will enable you to do the other things he's saying. It will change your external behavior because you know who you are in Christ. You know that you're right with him. You know how much God loves you and that you'll walk according. Your behavior will go up automatically, not just pretty much effortlessly because you're looking to him. You know how much he loves you, know what he's done, and it just automatically affects your outward behavior. This is what we want. We don't want just behavioral change without the true root of trusting Christ, and this is what Paul's praying. He's praying for the Philippians that they would get a hold of the truth, that would affect everything about them. Now let's go over to Hebrews, if you still have your finger there. Hebrews 13:20. Let's read it in the King James, New King James Version first. It says, Now we don't really know who the author of Hebrews are, but a lot of people think it's Paul. And a lot of people I've read after tend to think it's Paul. I tend to think it's Paul, but it doesn't really matter. But it says, verse 20, now may the God of peace, now again, he's praying for him, now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete. This is very powerful. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now let's read it in the Amplified. It's even more clear. This is something awesome to pray for yourself. Of course, to pray for other people, but just that this sums up, I think, our heart's desire for how we want to live. Now, let's start in verse 20 in the Amplified. Now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed, ratified the everlasting agreement or covenant or testament. Now may that God, verse 21, strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to whom be glory and forever and ever, to the ages of ages. Amen. So be it. That's powerful. When you look at what do we want to be able to do on this earth, this sums it up. That the God may strengthen us, that he may complete us, that he may perfect us and make us what we ought to be. How many people in here do you really believe you're what you ought to be? We may have made progress, but I don't think there's a one person that can honestly say on the face of the earth, yeah, I'm everything I ought to be. I mean, in the natural. No. But he's saying that you would be what you ought to be and equip you with everything you need to do that. Equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will while he himself works in you. See, he's the one that's working in us. He's the one that's accomplishing it. and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. I mean, to be walking with everything that God thinks we ought to be and accomplish everything that is pleasing in His sight, that's awesome. That's what every true Christian that has a heart to serve God wants. And what's He saying? That's through Christ. That's through Him. But He's saying that God would do it. That God would do it in us. That's powerful. We can pray that for other people. We can pray that for ourselves. Lord, show me. Lord, strengthen. Complete. Perfect me. Make me what I ought to be. Equip me with everything good that I can accomplish everything that You want for me. Your will. Hallelujah. But notice it goes back to Him. Lord, You do it. You show me. You give all these prayers together. You give me the revelation of God's love. You give me revelation of what Christ has done in me. You give me revelation of what Jesus' power is towards me, the power that You have. Lord, You strengthen me. You help me. Man, when we look at Him and lean on Him, it's going to come to pass. Thank God. He is good. And this is how we pray. Let's see, I think I had one more, but 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians. You can read that on your own. We're not going to go there right now. But these prayers, it's just a list. We can pray them. If we have somebody that needs prayer, this isn't, you know, everything you can pray for somebody. This is just an example. But these prayers will get the job done. If people that you're praying for are walking in this, there isn't a whole lot more that they need. If they're walking in this level of all these things we're talking about and being what God has for them and walking the way God wants them to walk, man, there is not a whole lot more. You're probably not even needing to pray for them after that, if you know what I'm saying. They fell off your prayer list at that point as far as really needing help because they're walking at this level. Man, if we just get these things done in us and other people, that's a pretty high level. So this just gives us a list to go down and to pray and to do for ourselves and just a starting point. But they're Holy Spirit-inspired prayers right straight from the Bible, and they work. Amen.